Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
And cook it, roll a whole halftime. Hit him with a chopper, breathe a last time. Flatline. Beat the block down when I turn up the Alpine. Smoke a 3-5, sell a halftime at halftime. Cook it's halftime.
Halftime?
Halftime. Quick. Keep a little steel by my belt line. Pop. F and Lee, you with an outline. F and you only see me at halftime. Couple QB,
he shorted. I want to compete, and I want to win. I want to get better, and I want this to be a top 25 program. That's real. That's the truth, and it can be. I want there to be magical moments and magical seasons. Like you guys have seen with Doug and Matt, we need to bring back those magical moments to the Heights. That's why I'm here, and that's what we plan on doing. So to do that, I'm here to tell you, I'm in. I'm here and I'm in. And what I'd ask the students, get in. What I'd ask the BC community, get in. What I'd ask this football team, get in. For all you guys, get in, because it is gonna be real. It's going to be special, and we are going to do this together. Thank you, guys.
Welcome to the Lot of Dudes podcast, presented by 4th and Dude, brought to you by Boston College 24/7 and Armchair All-Americans, Season 3, Special Edition, Halfley on the Heights episode. After a tumultuous 2 weeks in Chestnut Hill that was full of fake news and fraudulent candidates, Martin Jarman finally found his guy. As the smoke rose out of Gasson Hall, and Jeff Halfley was officially named the 36th head coach of Boston College, as reported by 4th and Dude. On today's episode, we'll recap the Grand Slam hire, and if you're not in already, we'll tell you why it's time to hashtag get in.
Matt, what a time to be a BC fan. Martin got his guy. It's an absolute home run. Future is brighter than ever. But before we get into everything, which I think this is going to end up being one of our most positive episodes ever, which is a nice change of pace from some of our recent more combative episodes. Before we get into it, a quick word from our friends at MyBookie. Football season is just about over, but there is still time to get off the sidelines and get into the game with MyBookie. MyBookie is the premier place to bet on all the football action every weekend, always with the most up-to-date lines and most prop bets of any sportsbook on the planet. If you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and bet with the best at MyBookie, whether it's parlays, teasers, props, futures, live bets. They have everything you need to make money on the weekends. Best part is if you join MyBookie right now, they will double your first deposit. That's right. If you put in $1,000, they'll give you $1,000 to use on all of your best picks. Use promo code CHAIR to activate the offer. That's promo code CHAIR to double your cash. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. Matt, what a wild 7 to 10 days it's been as a BC fan. We talked about it the last time we were on the microphones together, but we expected some action. And while it was, say, a little bit of an up and down week, it ended with, just about the best possible result.
Yeah, what an absolute roller coaster going all the way back to really the day Daz was fired, right? Which was what, November 30th? And so there was a 2 week timeline after that. And it seemed like every day the roller coaster took a different twist. And as we got later in the process and everyone started freaking out that, you know, every other team in Power Five had found their guy and BC was the lone wolf that was still looking for a guy. I mean, the Friday, and we'll get into the timeline, but that Friday that we ultimately broke the news that Halfley was getting hired, that Friday afternoon was probably the most absurd BC football message board, Twitter, everything that I've ever seen in my entire life. Just every candidate you could ever think of being named as a possibility to fill this job. And I'll tell you what, it's one of those rare hires that I think everyone is just absolutely psyched. Everyone's jacked up. Everyone's on the same page. Martin, you know, absolute slam dunk hire from Martin. And I think it was well worth the wait there, Matt.
Yeah, I would completely agree. I think Friday was what we expected when we were talking, you know, last time about how coaching searches are fun and there's a lot of action. And we didn't have that for the first, you know, 6 or 7 days really of this search. And then, like you said, it absolutely exploded on Friday. Again, just I guess we will recap the week, but it was really no fun at all. I think on day one, it was everyone said, all right, it's Halfley. Reports came out that he, you know, had already interviewed in Columbus and he, you know, blew the BC interview committee away with his vision, and the guy was an absolute home run. And at that point, our guys at 24/7 Eagle Insiders, as well as the Ohio State 24/7, were basically like, yeah, it's not an if, but when. And as the days went on and we still saw Halfley on these Ohio State recruiting visits, a little bit of doubt creeped in, and it got a little bit uncomfortable for a little while because we weren't hearing anything else except for, again, some other rumors of, well, maybe we're looking at the Army coach, or maybe we're looking at the, whatever, Texas A&M defensive coordinator, and all
or
of a sudden
if it's not the Army coach, it's the Navy coach.
Well, again, you're going to get...
By the way, that's locked in. It's definitely the Navy coach.
Well, you're going to leave me to Friday, but again, it was a lot of names that I don't think really brought the same excitement that Halfley did, but we didn't have the rumor mill and kind of all the excitement that we expected. And then, like you said, Friday happened, and footballscoop.com, I think who it was, dropped a report that basically says, all right, all of a sudden, the Navy coach now is in the front runner, but hold on, there is also a mystery second candidate that is a sitting Power 5 head coach that if he goes this way, it's going to completely change the landscape of college football. It's going to take people by storm, et cetera, et cetera. So obviously, we let ourselves get loose with the rumors, and we thought it was maybe Harbaugh is trying to get off the hot seat, Chip Kelly, et cetera, et cetera.
The names that Matt and I were texting back and forth that Friday afternoon, it was like, wait, it's not Belichick. Wait,
yeah, Mike Vrabel
Obama?
Was a big one. Yep, Mike Vrabel was a scoop. We basically had to go through, because also this football scoop guy, whoever said was plugged in, he had a line that, you know, come Monday, there's going to be a lot of BC fans in New England. So that's like, all right, Mike Vrabel would make a ton of sense. Come coach his son for 3 years, would make waves in college football. He's one of the most beloved Patriot of all time. So we had a really fun, I don't know if fun's the right word, a very exciting Friday afternoon. And then, of course, it all started to happen officially.
Yeah, and you keep saying it's fun. Most of that process, Matt, was absolutely zero fun, at least as far as I'm concerned. And I guess to be fair, I was still, when we recorded, a couple of weeks ago at this point, it was shortly after Daz got fired, and we touched lightly on some of the potential replacements that was going to replace Daz. And I know we talked about Luke Fickell, we talked about Mike Norvell, we talked about a few of these guys. I don't know about you, I was still kind of dealing with the Daz aftershocks.
Yeah, that was just you.
I wasn't really fully invested in the coaching search, hadn't really hit me yet that Daz was gone. I didn't really care who we were going to get. And then as I started to do more research, it was really Halfley that stuck out way more than anyone. And we'll get into all the pros and cons of this hire, but it seems like he's, you know, and it really culminated in the press conference he gave Monday, which was yesterday, recording on Tuesday, where he's just, he's an energetic guy. He's personable. He's likable. He has all the soft skills. He's just kind of a fun guy to hang around with. And he certainly has the resume to back it up. And it's one of those things that, you know, we've seen in the past, like when Steve Adazio was hired, for example, it's not always the popular choice that gets picked. And in this case, it sort of was, you know, it took 14 days for Martin to get there. But far and away, I think Halfley, once Fickell was confirmed out of the picture, and by the way, I'd still take Halfley over Fickell. It seemed like that was the clear cut number one choice, right, at least from the popular vote standpoint. So the fact that it all came together as well as it did, we actually got the guy we all wanted, and you guys know me. I'm you know, the biggest Daz defender of all time. I wish Daz best of luck in Colorado State, but I'm fully in on this guy, which is something I never thought I'd be saying 2 weeks ago. I can't wait for, you know, the next era of BC under this guy. He's got all the right stuff, and he says all the right things, and it's impossible not to root for him, and I think it's exactly, again, what this fan base needs.
Yeah, I completely agree. Although many people are saying the reason you're so high on him is because you kind of look like him. I don't know if you want to comment on that, but that's what I'm hearing on the streets.
I don't think that's right at all. He's a fine looking guy. He's great. I don't look like that. And okay. I don't understand. I look like Tony Romo.
Tony Romo.
So
yep.
For you guys,
of course,
don't know
Tony
me,
Romo. Sean McVay, podcast, I think I've heard before too. Kind of combination of those three guys. And I think you got your co-host right there.
Halfley's got a huge, he has like a disproportionately large head. I think it's because he has a huge brain in there. That's a theory that I have.
No, I completely agree. Yeah, no, it was you know, just a tremendous job again by Martin and really the entire BC search committee, which was, I think, primarily Jocelyn Gates as well as Matt Hasselback, which was a cool little nugget that they dropped that he was basically sitting in on every interview and was, you know, go-to guy throughout this process. There was a great article that came out in The Athletic today that was basically behind the scenes of, you know, what transpired over the last, you know, 14 days or so. And now it makes a little bit more sense of, you know, yeah, the guy was preparing for a national championship. He didn't know anything from Martin, or he didn't know that he was the kind of leader in the clubhouse. So he was going to continue to go about his work. And it wasn't until Friday afternoon that Martin finally sent over the offer. So we heard Friday afternoon, we were starting to hear some rumblings from some couple former players saying, it sounds like Halfley's the guy. We reached out to a very well-informed source who basically said, look, there's just not a deal. So we kind of called off the dogs there. And then about 3 hours later is when we started to get the official word. It was right at the same time as the white smoke started getting tweeted out.
We're new to the source game, relatively. We've had some success in the past.
Jerry's Hamilton is our biggest feather in the cap, I would say.
We had that one, and then we had Kai Bowman returning for his junior year.
Yeah, we also we mixed in there that Adazio was getting fired last year, not this year. So
that was you. That one you have to wear. I would never.
I just launched it. I said, you know what? This feels like it's going to be the play. Let's launch it. But yeah, not always right.
But we turns out it's not that hard to get sources. You just ask the right people.
And,
people are willing to share.
Hey, what do you hear, man? Yeah.
So we got some intel from some former players that we knew from back in the day, and I don't know how they knew. I guess Ohio State connection. Who knows? Doesn't matter. But you know, we figured they were reputable sources, and so we were 99% sure that it was locked in and it was going to be Halfley. And we didn't say anything. And then Martin tweeted out the smoke coming out of Gasson, and we just launched it. We said breaking
news. That was enough.
So,
yep.
So full disclosure, we didn't have anything, you know, from a legitimate, credible, you know, BC official source saying, you know, this is officially locked in, but we felt good enough about it to break it. And that is how you get into the sources game. I think that's how Schefter does it. He says, I'm 90% sure, let's launch it and cross our fingers.
Just no risk there. Yeah, I'll say it was a little bit hairy for the first like 5 or so minutes. And then we started to catch some likes from some, again, official BC athletic folks that we said, all right, probably good here.
An hour later, Pete Thamel said it too. So then we knew.
You're literally an accountant and you broke it an hour before Thamel. Good job, buddy.
Right. And even actually, if you read the Athletic article today, even Martin said when he tweeted out the white smoke coming out of Gasson, it wasn't even official at that point, which is amazing. Unfathomable to me.
Absolutely incredible.
This guy scheduled a pep rally for Monday and then tweeted out the white smoke, and there was no deal in place at that point.
Right.
It's unlike anything you've ever seen before, but tell you, he's got some cojones to do that, and you know, it all worked out in the end. So yeah, so we're officially, you know, we're still in the source game. We continue to be in the source game. We've been primarily a basketball breaking news podcast, but it's nice to see that our football sources are finally coming through as well.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And again, I know I said it earlier, but I can't give enough credit to Martin on this search. Not only on the getting his man, literally, I mean, the athletic article is must read. I know they're behind a paywall. I think I stole this from you, but must read stuff if you do have the Athletic subscription. But basically, he decided in their first meeting in Columbus, which was, I believe, the Thursday night before the Big Ten championship game, he says, bingo, this is my guy. And from then, for 7 days, I think they had very little contact. He was talking with Ryan Day, whatever. But to actually be able to close in on that and hone in on that is just a huge testament to, you know, what this guy can get done behind the scenes. And also say, amazing how tight, and I know there wasn't maybe a ton of news going on, but how tight they kept the search overall. Just zero leaks. A lot of the information that was coming out, really, I'd say the early part of last week through Friday afternoon, was misinformation. We talked about, again, the Army, the Navy, all these other interviews that may or may not have happened as well. So overall, a great job by the athletics department. I will say they did steal our white smoke idea, which technically Ole Miss and Arkansas stole first. But, you know, it is what it is. I'm glad that we're all, you know, a rising tide lifts all boats, so to speak. So I'm glad I can help out.
It is funny that the ownership that you have over that idea, like you came up with it when completely independent football programs also did the same thing. I think they've been doing it for years. Actually,
it's UMass, not. They absolutely not, because when Ole Miss did it, it was like, oh my God, like break the internet stuff. Like, this is so funny and so original. So obviously they were one of the first to do it. And, you know, let me put it this way. If we had like, 10,000 followers, I would absolutely 100% convince myself that like somehow that tweet circulated college football and they saw it. As it stands now, I think that there's just a, you know, good Catholic social media guy working at Ole Miss who has a very similar brain as
actually,
I do. So credit to him.
One of our followers is an Ole Miss guy, so I wonder if he was one of the people that liked it and then.
Let's go back through
the. It's a giant game of telephone. Yeah, we'll do an investigation.
A weekend project. We'll figure it out.
And maybe we get our head of legal on that finally. He hasn't done anything.
Give him
lately.
A job, honestly. Yeah. Although I will say I was with our head of legal on Friday night when this broke, so I conferred with him on whether or not we break the news, which he gave the green light on, and
which
then,
he probably shouldn't have done that because that opens us up to slander, libel, one of those.
Yeah. More so though, he allowed us to attack some of these salty Ohio State fans, which I want to talk about next. So. There were, I'd say for the most part, Ohio State fans seem to be pretty gracious with this. They understand, look, we're a blue chip program. Our coordinators are going to get poached. That's just what happens. But there were a couple, and I think these are just people who have never left, you know, the general Columbus area. We'll call them mouth breathers. Were just, you know, quite frankly, mean, not only about Halfley, but saying basically you'll be pathetic. This was, what's the other guy's name? Madison's defense. This is his defense and Ryan Day's team. You're going to be nothing without those guys. I hope you lose 100 games next year. And also, like, why, and mean to BC, like, why would you ever go to a pathetic program like that? So, a couple people I snapped back at, a couple of our followers I saw getting in the mud there as well. So, shout out to you guys, but always had our head of legal approving it to make sure we didn't cross the line as some of my deleted tweets I think might have.
Yeah, Matt, that's actually the poo that I have is the entire process of dealing with the Ohio State fans. I had no issue with Ohio State before the past couple weeks, but you know, part of our part of following the story and part of our fourth and dude responsibilities required us to spend a good amount of time on the Ohio State message boards. They had a guy that was pretty locked in, as well as our guy 24/7, who was also locked in the whole time. But the amount of BC bashing on those message boards was unbelievable. And I get
but when you look at it too, it doesn't make sense because if you actually think about the Power Five jobs that were open, especially later in the process, I mean, there was nothing even on the same page as us, right? Like you. Sure, make the argument Ole Miss is better. I would argue that we're probably better than Arkansas for in terms of a job. But SEC, I get that. That's all, you know, a whole thing. But, you know, at that point in the process, everything else was gone. Like, what did they want him to wait for? It's still a Power 5 ACC job with, you know, it's whatever, $4 million salary. It's just crazy.
Complaints ranging from, BC should wait until after our national championship runs over, which literally no one has ever done in history.
Right.
Number two, if he just waited a year, he could pick a non-dead end job, which I don't really think that makes any sense at all. Again, it's one of the premier jobs in the Northeast. He's a Northeast guy. He wants to be here. The other thing they had a big issue with was apparently Urban Meyer had a 2-year policy. Although I even saw that was debunked too, but apparently Urban had told assistants to stick it out 2 years before jumping to greener pastures. But Ryan Day, by the way, gave Halfley his full support and was Halfley said how gracious Ryan Day was throughout the entire process and was a big reason that, you know, his recommendation to MJ helped seal the deal. So all that's a bunch of BS.
Yeah, I think that's an underrated part of this search, too, is Ryan Day's role in it. He's a guy that obviously loves BC. He coached here for, I think he said 9 years, got his master's degree here. He's a New England guy. So having, you know, him, who is obviously not Halfley's mentor, but his current boss, you know, basically go through and say, look, this is a great place. It's going to be a great fit for your family. It's going to be a great fit for your personality, your coaching style. The fans are going to love you. I mean, that is like a huge, huge, huge vote of confidence if, you know, Halfley was by any chance, I don't know, maybe having doubts or maybe wanting to hold out to another opening next year or just loved life in Columbus, whatever. So absolute huge shout out to Ryan Day on that one. And then, Matt, the other thing that I think that this hire is absolutely humongous for is the New Jersey recruiting factor. So obviously with Shiano going to Rutgers, that throws a massive speed bump into our efforts in New Jersey, which over the previous, say, decade have been very strong, and even prior to that, obviously, as well. But losing both Campanellis now at Rutgers, Shiano at Rutgers, they're going to be a wrecking ball when it comes to recruiting in that state. Whether or not they can turn that into wins is another question entirely. But getting an ace recruiter like Jeff Halfley is, who is also a New Jersey guy, is just about as good of a kryptonite as you could possibly ask. I can't imagine this guy coming into your living room, especially if you're on the defensive side of the ball, and not wanting to get on the next flight to Boston. He's just an electric factory. His development speaks for itself, and his, you know, former player relationships speak for themselves as well.
Yeah, I think our guys at 24/7 ranked him the fourth best recruiter this past year, which is pretty impressive for a guy that has only been doing this for 10 months now, at least within the last 7 years. And I know a lot of people say, oh, it's easy to recruit at a school like Ohio State. And part of that is true, but you know, you wind back the clock 7 years, and he was also lighting it up at Pitt and Rutgers, which I think we'd all agree are less easy places to get kids to come to. I read a story about how he sort of saw something in Deion Lewis and recruited Deion Lewis to Pitt when no one else really wanted him. Stuff like that, just I mean, that's absolutely enormous. That's who BC is. It's when BC is firing all cylinders, it's because they get the under-recruited guy, they see the diamond in the rough, and they develop him, and they make him into a next level type of player. So, high school coaches in Jersey, which is obviously huge for us. They loved him in 2007 when he was a nobody. Now he's got all sorts of experience. He's, you know, the co-defensive coordinator at Ohio State's got 7 years of pro experience. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to the battles that he's going to have with Shiano in New Jersey. I like our chances on those. If it was up to me, I'd come play for Halfley any day of the week over Shiano.
Yeah, and what I could see happening too is I think you could see Shiano get an early bump because I think there is a lot of excitement in Jersey right now about him coming back, from the high school coaches especially, and even some of the players now that were probably in middle school or elementary school the last time they were good, but at least they have some recollection of it. I could see, though, after 2 or 3 years, if it doesn't come together the way that their $32 million offer, you know, thinks that it will, that it will very quickly fall off. Not nearly to the same extent, but a similar thing to like a Randy Edsall in Connecticut. You're seeing now what's happening with, you know, their football program is just an absolute disaster. Whereas everyone thought, oh, he's going to come back and recreate all the magic when he was in a, you know, ridiculously soft Big East. Let's keep that in mind, by the way.
Yes, I'm glad you said that.
The Big Ten is a little bit more difficult than trying to get to the Fiesta Bowl when you're in the Big East.
Yeah, 1,000%. And I know last time we talked, and this is just, again, me being pessimistic about the future, I said something like there's going to be a mass exodus of talent and all that, and I named a bunch of guys that could be transferring. I'm going to officially take that back, Matt. It sounds like from everyone I've talked to, people love this guy. Everyone seems locked in on Halfley's mission. The only one that's transferred of any sort of significance thus far is obviously Tony Touchdowns.
Well, which, by the way, I mean, is
not transferred. Enter the transfer portal, I should say. I mean, there's a good chance he comes back. I mean, obviously, he's dealing with some injury. He probably won't be able to play until, you know, mid next fall anyway, right? So, but if I'm him, and, you know, if Halfley said, hey, AB, I want you starting at quarterback next year, then, you know, that'd be something I'm obviously interested in talking about.
Yeah, and again, we'll, he's a Jersey guy too. He's, you know, he's a Jersey guy, so there's going to be a relationship there. He was at the press conference, which is obviously a good sign. I think if you've, you know, already transferred and said I'm going to Rutgers or somewhere else, you're not really following through on that. I will give a shout out to him too. He did graduate along with, I think there were six other players or whatever, got their degree in early, which is obviously a huge accomplishment. So now he is really free to go versus, you know, you look at guys who have left early in the past without a degree, and I think that's something that they would regret. So no hard feelings if he leaves. I think it's one of those things that it's too bad that the timing never really worked out perfectly in terms of, you know, staying healthy for a full time. But no, I'm with you. I think that's really the only one that is, you know, potential. And then on the incoming recruit side, everyone has stayed solid with the exception of Ja Joyner, who is still TBD. He's just basically pushing he essentially decommitted, but he pushed it off to the late signing period. The early signing period is coming up this week. Some rumors about Minnesota, but again, this was all before the new coach was hired. So now Halfley has, you know, 3 months to not only shore up a guy like him, but also get in the transfer portal, get other recruits that are on the board. I know there's, you know, I can't imagine not wanting to play for a guy like this, especially if you're on the defensive side of the football.
Exactly. And I think Joyner probably saw our defense this past year and understands that he has a pretty good chance to contribute immediately. So we'll see what happens there. National Signing Day is tomorrow, right? Tomorrow's
Wednesday. The early day? Yeah, I believe so.
So it'll be interesting to see. Obviously, it sounds like Halfley is tied up in national championship preparation, which makes sense. But I think Rich Gannell's doing a great job in the meantime. And, you know, hopefully we can get those guys all locked down, as the reports are saying.
Yeah, I agree. And then the other thing, I'll segue off Gannell here, who, again, I've absolutely loved. And I think he's been a perfect segue for this program. But I do want to talk about the coordinators as well. So that'll be really exciting to see what Halfley decides to bring in. I'm sure he will want to keep on some of these guys on the current staff. I think Gannell is an obvious, you know, first choice for that. A clear connection to BC, a clear connection to this team. You know, clearly the ton of trust in, you know, from Martin in him, as well as the rest of the staff, to be interim for the next, you know, few weeks and through the bowl game. So he's a guy I hope stays on. And then, you know, beyond that, I think it was after we last spoke, but Bajakian officially went to Northwestern, which, look, he was a great coordinator, and it's obviously unfortunate to lose, but I feel very confident in Halfley's ability between all of his NFL connections and his, you know, major college connections that he's going to bring in a phenomenal staff. And I think you have some inside or potentially inside info on that as well.
Yeah, this is breaking news. Take this with a grain of salt because the source is Mark Blodshun.
The heaviest grain of salt you can possibly find, please.
But Matt and I were talking about this pre-show. He just posted something. And I don't know. He gets dumped on a lot, but sometimes he does have some okay intel, even though he's mostly just throwing shit at the wall.
All right, well, his coaching search performance was absolutely pathetic. He literally posted like 7,000 names. It's like BC with 100 typos in each tweet. BC potentially looking at this coach. BC, and then on Friday morning, BC hit a snag. Excuse me, BC hit a snag with Jeff Halfley. So I think he has absolutely no idea, but this one, you know, makes sense, at least logically.
Yeah, so I think taking a step back, I mean, when you think about Halfley, we'll talk about some of the, you know, how this was somewhat of a risky hire in a bit. But when you think about it, I mean, he's coming in and he's a defensive guy. He's a defensive genius, at least, you know, as far as the D-backs are concerned. So he knows the defensive side of the football. So, you know, obviously he's probably going to hire his protege in the defensive coordinator spot. So I kind of like him to hire someone up and coming there, and whether he calls the plays, the other guy calls the plays, doesn't really matter as long as they're, you know, sort of utilizing the same game plan that they did this year at Ohio State. Obviously, whatever they did there is working. The big question mark is who the hell is going to be offensive coordinator for this guy that has never hired a staff before, really has never worked on the offensive side of the football before. And one name that has come out, and I was kind of thinking that, you know, sort of how Sean McVay. So Sean McVay is obviously an offensive mastermind. He went and hired Wade Phillips, right? Wade Phillips is a proven defensive guy, knows how to, you know, operate autonomously, and McVay can just leave him to the defense, and that's that. I was kind of thinking Halfley would do something similar here. And the name that's being floated is this guy, Scott Turner. I think that's his name. Let me get his real first name. Scott Turner. I got it right the first time.
Nice, Matt. Good job.
37-year-old offensive coordinator. He's the son of Norv Turner, and he's currently the sitting offensive coordinator of the Carolina Panthers. Obviously, they fired Rivera, so he's somewhat of a lame duck, actually similar to what Bajakian was last year. So he's only 37, but he is, you know, obviously an NFL-level offensive coordinator. So we know Halfley has a ton of NFL connections, and, you know, we have to trust his judgment to evaluate, you know, who the right guys are. So, you know, I was thinking, you think about who he's interacted with in the pros. So he had stops at Tampa Bay, Cleveland, and then San Francisco. And so I was going through some of those coaching lists, and, you know, LaFleur that plays, or he coaches, yep, the Packers now, his brother, his little brother, is the passing game coordinator for the San Francisco 49ers. So I'm just spitballing here, but a guy like that, but I'm thinking he's going to dip into the pros. So I actually don't hate that theory from Blodgen that, you know, he could get this guy, Scott Turner. I think they crossed paths in the Pitt days. So, but either way, you got to have someone that's proven, knows what they're doing, and can operate somewhat independently, because Halfley's going to have his hands full trying to fix this defense.
Well, the other thing too that came out, you know, earlier on in this process, but the big rumor was that, again, Leahy and the Board of Trustees, you know, due to Martin's lobbying, approved a significant increase to not only the head coaching position, but also the coordinator pool, which is humongous. I think that we've seen in the past, you know, even a guy like Don Brown, who maybe is on the, say, higher end of the spectrum, was making, I don't know, call it like 150 here, and went to Michigan for, call it like 600K. So it's very hard to retain talent. And I'm not saying we need to get to that level necessarily. It'd be awesome if we did. But everything that we've heard is that the budgets will now make this a much more desirable position, rather than let's try to catch, you know, either an up and comer who's going to come here for a year, or, you know, hang on to some retread like we did with Bill Sheridan this year, a guy who just bounced around and says, all right, I'm nowhere else to go, so let me at least make, you know, 200K for the final, you know, 5 years of my life. So I love that, and that gives me a ton of optimism. And then again, I do think, like, I think that there is something to be said about this young guy, first head coach experience, where he is going to think a little bit outside the box versus a retread or someone who's, you know, coached forever and just kind of is going to, you know, follow the old boys club, so to speak. I think that he's going to get very creative with it. I think we saw the same thing with Martin Jarmon by, you know, not hiring a search committee, kind of doing things his own way, trusting his decision. So I expect the same out of Halfley. He's going to bet on himself, and I think he's going to hit a couple home runs with his hires.
Is there a bigger scam going than search committees?
It's a joke, isn't it? It really is. They pay $200,000 to have Brad Bates or Gene DeFilippo tell you these are the five coaches that your message board, by the way, had, you know, 3 weeks ago.
Exactly. Like, just listen to us. Like, save the $100K. I never understood that, because, I mean, as AD, that's the most important thing you'll do is hiring. It just seems like a lot of time they leave it all up to the search firms, and whoever the search firms recommend, that's the guy they pick. And I think that's what Bates did, and it obviously didn't work out.
Two Mac hires, exactly. And then the other thing,
well,
too.
Well, Dez worked out fine.
Dez was obviously just great. I mean, the other thing, too, credit to our guys at Eagle Insiders. They did a hot board like midway through the season, I think, of here are some names that we'd like to see, you know, if Addazio gets fired. And Halfley was their number one for, you know, the last like 4 months. So they were all over this guy. They were super high on him from the start. And I think now that we're getting to know him a little bit more, we are certainly trying to see that as well. And then let me just say, too, the dap-ups that we've seen him have with MJ, both at the press conference and in that video where they took the private jet to pick him up, you can't teach that kind of chemistry. I mean, that's like stuff that's like they've been best friends for, you know, 7 years, it looks like. These guys are 39 and 40 years old. I predict that it's going to be a little bit like stepbrothers, and they'll have bunk beds in the Connie Forum offices within 2 weeks.
1,000%. And by the way, that wasn't like rehearsed either. We saw the video from the private jet. That was the first time they'd seen each other, at least that day. Obviously, they'd done interviews before that, but like that was a first take, it looked like. And then just the perfect dap. I'm fully with you there, Matt. One thing we should talk about is probably the most important thing. I know we touched on recruiting and a couple other things, but we should talk about what Halfley's done to Ohio State's defense this year. So last year, Ohio State was 72nd in the country in yards
under
allowed.
Under Shiano, by the way.
They were 51st in points allowed. They were 95th in 20-plus yard plays allowed. And I think we're like 128th in all three of those categories.
It's so impossibly Ohio State, worse, yeah.
So Halfley comes in, and he immediately transforms this defense into top five in all three of those categories. So obviously those metrics at the prior year are awful by Ohio State standards. I think Urban Meyer usually had his D, you know, top 10 at least. So, you know, if he can do the same thing for us, I'm not saying we're going to be top five next year with this, you know, the same defense we rolled out this past season. But, you know, you figure he can come in on day one and just see a whole bunch of things that are wrong with this defense. And it's going to be like he'll throw in the Kansas film and it'll be like Mozart critiquing Who Let the Dogs Out. Like it's literally like night
and day. Not really here for that Baja Men slander. I got to be honest with you.
I'm just saying it's I don't know what you want me to do with that, man. I'm just saying it's like they put together, you know, a good product on the field at Ohio State. They're top five in the country. What we tried to do this past season was not. It was not defense. It was, you know, talk about the missed tackles, the schemes were, you know, a mismatch. And, you know, it seemed like Bill Sheridan didn't really know what he was doing for, you know, the entirety of the year. And it seems like what happened was, you know, he came in, he completely simplified the defense. They'd been running a ton of man the prior year. That wasn't working. He implemented some, you know, simplified zone concepts. And, you know, turn some of the D-backs into the best guys, into some of the best players in the country. I think one of their cornerbacks is an All-American. You know, several of them will be drafted. And, you know, he really transformed the same guys that, you know, weren't doing so hot last year. So if he can do the same thing, obviously, this year, then, you know, that would take away a huge pain point that cost BC a few wins last year.
Yeah, and that's the key, too. I mean, we know that we don't have a Chase Young out on our defense right now, but we don't need to be a top five defense. If we were a top 50 defense, we would be, you know, we'd have two or three more wins on the year this year. There's no question about that. And, you know, we did say that most of this seems to be scheme issues of putting basically linemen in coverage and a ton of other head scratching decision by Sheridan. So I agree with you. I think he comes in and he cleans up a bunch right away. But the second piece of it is the player development. I mean, we've heard the quote from Richard Sherman now 100 times about the way he sees the field, the way he can you know, identify problems with performance and the way that, you know, people are doing things and fix behaviors and other issues to actually get the most out of these guys, whether it's their tackling, whether it's, you know, the way they're covering, et cetera. So he's, you know, a genius in that side of it. So I think that between the player development as well as just the scheme, which will increase immediately, but give it a year, 2 years of developing these players who, you know, maybe are not the most talented guys, and that's okay. I think that you're going to see it, you know, pay off significantly. And really that's, I think, been a sore sight for BC fans since Don Brown left.
Yeah, I agree 100%. But, you know, this could be one of the biggest defensive turnarounds in college football history. I don't know what the metrics are on that, but if he can do the same thing, then, you know, obviously that would be ginormous. I do want to throw a couple negatives in here. Okay, Matt, is that all right?
Yeah, I don't love it, but go for it.
All right, so I touched on one of them already, but, yeah, I mean, everyone's thrilled with this, and he was the popular pick. But, you know, one thing that's being slightly overlooked is the fact that this is still a massively risky hire. This guy has zero offensive experience. He's got minimal, even defensive play calling experience. He's never hired a staff before. And it overall, we're putting a ton on the line here based on what Halfley's potential could be versus what he's already proven. I do think this is the type of risk that we're all willing to take, and that's why everyone's so jacked up about it, because everyone's sick of 7 wins a year. And, you know, this is the type of guy that if it works out, he can get you out of the promised land. But I do want to put that out there, that there's a lot of ways that this could go wrong. And again, you have to make this hire. If this is your guy and you believe in him, you have to do it, because if he does the same thing at Ohio State with next year's defense and they're number one in the country again, then he's not taking BC's call. So there has to be some level of risk that you have to balance in order to make this hire work. But just putting that out there, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, you're hedging your bets a little bit, but overall, I get what you're saying. I feel better about it because of the fact that, you know, he is well seasoned and he's seen football at a lot of different levels, rather than just say someone who, you know, kind of, let's say he rose with Ohio State and he was a grad assistant there 10 years ago and kind of slowly worked his way up, linebackers coach and now defensive coordinator. I think that the experience of bouncing around and working at those different levels and recruiting at different levels, obviously the recruiting at Ohio State is way different than it is at Pitt, for example. I think that is going to have him ready for this position. And again, I think being a Northeast guy helps a lot too. I'd be much more concerned about this hire if, you know, we were, say, UCLA or something like that, and we were bringing some guy out from the Northeast. So I think it's a fair concern to mention, but I'm not overly worried about it.
But you understand, like, he's going from being in charge of 4 to 5 people on the field.
He's a CEO now, right? Exactly.
To running the entire operation.
Yeah, no,
it's a huge jump of responsibility. He wasn't calling the plays at Ohio State. No, that was Madison, the other guy. So he had a very it was almost tunnel vision for the last 16 years. He's been in charge of just the D-backs.
Yeah,
and now he's going into a role that he doesn't have any experience in. And, you know, we still think he's the right guy and he's got the right stuff. So, you know, the concerns are mitigated from that standpoint. He'll figure it out and he'll work hard and all that. But you never know what's going to happen until it actually happens with, you know, an inexperienced hire like this.
Yeah. What I wouldn't hate to see would be to bring in some, you know, Paul Pasqualoni type, the way he came in for Dabbs, but basically someone who is, you know, been around the horn, been a head coach. I don't even care, you know, if it's been really successful or not, but someone who, you know, has kind of overseen a program before, not to in any way sway Halfley's decisions, but more for if Halfley has questions, because I'm sure there's going to be questions that come up. And, you know, I don't know what their relationship's like. It sounds like it's a great one, but I don't know that he can just call Ryan Day, for example, every time he has a overarching how do I run a program type question. So I certainly don't think he needs, like Daz, no offense, Matt, needed a Pasqualoni to tell him when to call timeouts and like basic things like that. He certainly doesn't need that, but I think just having a senior
consultant. Actually, you know what would be electric, sort of, Matt?
You bring Adazio back.
I'm glad you said it, not me. what if you made them co-head coaches?
Yeah, no, I'm not on board with that, but thank you for...
Why don't people do that? Why don't you have like a defense coach and an offense coach?
That's called a coordinator.
No, I understand, but like, what if you have these co-DCs now, and I don't know. I if I got to the league, and I don't know, I'm just trying to think outside the box.
Okay,
here, Matt.
Interesting.
Anyway, so one other negative to touch on. Actually, I have two negatives. One, he cries a lot, Matt. He's a big
crybaby.
Oh
no, that's okay.
Like.
That's in my positive category.
Okay, just wanted to put that out there because I've seen 3 press conferences where he spoke and he's just crying the entire time.
Matt, I have been in my later years become a super emotional guy.
You cried
everything.
I know.
Ton now. Everyone knows this about me.
That's in my con list about you too.
Yes, fair enough. I cry a ton now, so I can't love this some more. Look, I want a guy who has passion, who wears his emotions on his sleeve, because you know why? Because criers like us, we get that means that you care, and you care so much about what you're investing yourself into or the subject matter that you're crying over. So I want this guy who says, look, I've reached this role, whether it was the Broyles Award speech or this speech now. I've reached this role and I am so honored and humbled and excited for the opportunity. So I have the fact that he is emotional and he's not afraid to show his emotions as something in the absolute positivity. I think that the team will rally around that too. I mean, can you imagine, you know, the great videos that'll come out if it's a, you know, big upset over Clemson in the red bandana game next year, something like that, and the emotion that will come out after that. So I am all about that, and I'm absolutely labeling that as a pro, and I think you're incorrect to put that in the cons column.
The other negative I have is the Jeff Halfley era could be a quick one. Obviously, he's shown that he's, you know, an ambitious guy. He's not afraid to jump ship to keep his career moving. This is BC is his 7th team this decade which is a lot. He doesn't really have a real connection to BC. So, you know, there's a very real chance here that he has success in year one and two, right? And then some factory school comes calling. And if we're paying him $3 million now and someone offers him $6 million, you know, would he turn that down? I do think there are some mitigating factors here. You know, one being the fact that he keeps saying how it was his lifelong dream to become a head coach. He's a Northeast guy and he's got young kids. And at some point he's probably going to want to settle down. The wife's going to say, all right, you know, Jeff, let's, you know, hang out in Needham for a while. This is our home now. So I could see that, but you know, history would show that if a big job comes calling after a couple of years of success, there's a very real chance that he's out of here. And then we're scrambling for a new coach.
Yeah, I think that's fair. You know, and obviously it is a negative in the sense that you certainly don't want a guy who's going to leave after 2 years. But at the same time, I kind of like that it's not something that Martin was afraid of in this search, because I think that you box yourself in very quickly if you say, I'm only want a guy who no matter what is going to be here for 5-6 years, you know, as long as we want them for 5-6 years. I think you do result in, I don't want to say less ambitious, but, you know, maybe an older guy who has a really strong connection to BC, which is all well and good. But at the same time, that means that you're just not doing well enough to even get looked elsewhere. Like, there are special cases. I think Al Washington maybe, you know, could maybe fit that role of, because he's a BC guy, would want to stay here forever. But you just can't promise that with anyone, you know, unless you're getting a Frank Spaziani who's just been here his whole life and he's 70 years old. And where else is he going to go if it's not a home? So, you know, I think that I understand the trepidation. But if Halfley leaves to go to pick wherever, say Dabo goes to Bama in 3 years and he goes down to Clemson for $7 million. Clearly, then that means that these next 2-3 years were, you know, phenomenal. And I think the trade-off is almost worth it to put us in that position.
Yeah, I agree. And I do think in the back of my mind that, and if it was me and someone offered me the BC job at 40, I'd say, all right, this is, if all goes well, I'll be here for the next 30 years and be the next, I almost said Joe Paterno.
I knew you were going to say Joe Paterno. You can't do that. Jim Tressel, I don't even know if you can really do anymore.
Bill Snyder at Kansas State.
I guess, but he doesn't really want a lot. Yeah, Kirk Ferentz. I mean, yeah, like Paterno and Tressel were your guys, but yeah, no, that's not where we want to end up. I agree. I say this all the time. If you and I, or you know, our close friends were great football minds, like that would be just the best case situation because we'd never leave.
Ever. We never live. So there's no job. Like, why would you want to go to Clemson? Like,
right.
Why would you want to go to Bama? It doesn't move the needle for me. And he's like an underdog. He keeps saying like, I was the undersized guy. No one thought I could play, you know, big time ball. And like, he couldn't, because, you know, he couldn't get minutes at Siena. But that doesn't matter, because he's, you know, he became, you know, a leader and a coach and a defensive, you know, genius and all that. So I could see that there's parallels there between him and, you know, the type of stuff that BC offers. So if he likes that underdog mentality, and this conference is sort of BC's for the taking, at least as far as second place is concerned. So if he can rip off, you know, consistent 10 win seasons, then you know, he's gonna be a legend. So
yeah, no, I hear you. And then the other, I do want to note, I don't even really call this a negative, because I think there's it's just cool and certainly can't blame him. And I think that there's benefits that could come out of it, but it's too bad that he can't start coaching for us today. He is still coaching Ohio State through the CFP, which is 12 days away. And then hopefully another, you know, week after that. But I will say, I love that he has a full month of Clemson prep, and giving him, you know, 14 days to break down Trevor Lawrence, I do think will help us next year, honestly. And then the other side of it as well is, from a strictly recruiting pitch perspective, having the defensive coordinator of the national champion walking into your living room, you know, the day after the title in BC gear, I think is a nice selling point. So
I'm kind of mixed on that. I kind of want him to stay hungry. I kind of want him. Well, fair. A couple things. I'm rooting against Ohio State because of their fans.
That's fair.
I'm not rooting against Halfley, but their fans are the
absolute
worst.
I love Ryan Day, though, too.
Worst.
I agree.
The fans are already saying, if we lose, it's because Halfley was too busy dealing with, you know, recruiting for
BC. We saw that during the first half against Wisconsin when they went down 21-0. The anti-Halfley tweets were amazing.
Yeah, Ohio State fans are officially the worst. I think best case is Clemson wins 3-0.
That's fair. Yeah, I can. So
Halfley has a good game, but they lose, and then Ohio State fans can shut up.
I hate Clemson now, too, man. I'm so out on, I'm just done with Clemson.
Yeah, I think it's LSU. I think that's the people's champion right now.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. And then a couple other quick hitters I have. So this I saw in the Athletic article today. when he met with Jarmond and the committee in Columbus. And then again, when he came back to BC, his wife, Gina, went out and bought him a maroon tie and made him wear it, which is, I think, just a phenomenal move. And it shows that coaches who are interviewing for $4 million jobs are not so different than a couple of 21-year-olds in Lake Street getting ready for a consulting or financial interview in downtown Boston. It's all about the tie. That is the first thing people notice and really sets the tone for the interview.
Yeah, and whether that should have been a huge factor from a football standpoint.
Matt, first impressions matter, man. That's rule number one.
I'm into it. I love that. And I love that he was the only one that rocked the maroon and gold.
Right.
These other candidates, and I guess this is the last point I wanted to make on Halfley. It's all the intangible stuff, right? I mean, that's what really sold me as I started to do more research on this guy, was watch his videos, whether it was the press conferences or when he was mic'd up in practice. You know, he's just got this energy about him. He's relatable. And sometimes these people just have the it factor, right? Like, you compare Halfley to a guy like, we always give Dave Doran shit, but Dave Doran doesn't have the it factor.
Dave
right?
Doran stinks, yeah.
You bring in Jeff Halfley, compare him to Dave Doran or even Mike Norvell, and who Florida State just hired. And Halfley just kind of gives you the feeling that he's not going to screw this up, right? And I tweeted out yesterday, but the story where, you know, he wrote 100 letters to every program until he got hired. Like, that's a football guy move.
Yep. That's a great coach move. The Buzz Williams, basketball coach, is just, if you're a great mind, that's what you do. You're hungry.
Exactly. You don't accept no as an answer, and you keep bothering these people until they finally agree to hire you. Like, even in the press conference yesterday, when his daughter started, you know, saying something, and he goes, can someone get that baby out of here? Like, he's electric.
Shut that baby
he's an electric
up.
Factory. Yeah, he's an electric factory, and I'm glad he's our coach. And I don't think I'd be saying this about anyone else. So
yeah, no, I'm really relieved and pleased to hear that you feel this way. It makes me happy as a friend and a co-host and a fellow BC fan. I'll just say in general too, the press conference was absolutely phenomenal. Much must watch stuff, I would say, for the full 27 minutes. His get in speech that we'll put in at the start of the episode is just an absolute first ballot soundbite rallying cry to get the fans, to get the alumni, even, you know, local students, everyone involved. Like, that can't I couldn't be more fired up when I was watching that. And I'll say shout out to BC Marketing moving really quickly and trying to capitalize on that, championing it with the, you know, hashtag get in. I got like 3 emails yesterday for either donations or season tickets, whatever, saying, all right, it's time to get in with Coach Halfley. And I'll say too, I think that by the reports are that, again, they've made an investment in this in terms of his salary the coordinator's salary and other, you know, BC or football related spend. I think that we owe it to the administration and the, you know, department to prove them right. Whether that's buying tickets, whether that's donating, whatever. I think that we need to prove to, you know, I know that the athletic officials know it, but to prove to the Board of Trustees and to prove to Leahy that, hey, you know what, when you guys actually care about sports, we care and we want to give back and we want to be part of that. So I know Jarmond already said that tickets were way up and donations were way up. Some guy already tossed in an extra six-figure donation, which was not you or I don't think. I can't, I guess, confirm, but doesn't sound like something that we could quite pull off. But absolutely love to hear all that stuff. And I think it's will only lead to more, you know, good things. And even if Halfley does leave, it will make it so that when this next hire comes up, they say, look, we spent $4 million last time. We can spend more. We know it's going to fire people up, whatever, but it's just going to lead to better things down the road.
Yeah, absolutely. And September 2020 can't come fast enough. Spoiler alert, I think we're going to be back on the road to 10-2, although we'll have to talk about that offline. We have a lot to talk about in the offseason.
Yeah, I do. I want to just talk. I don't know, Matt, what you think this means, Matt, for the fourth and dude brand. It's a little bit of a TBD.
Matt, I have a feeling we're going to have to change something.
I got you. Well, again, keep an eye out, like you just alluded to. There's a lot of halfly puns coming out. So that's both, it can be half, like one over two, halftime. You can replace the word have or haven't with half or haven't. So be a lookout for that. I think you'll notice that we had a new intro song for this episode, as well as a new outro. It all will be on the half theme. We're going to be trying out some musical chairs to figure out what the right move is. But
really, you're doing it now. Daz's body isn't even cold yet.
We're moving on. It's halftime.
All right, this is just, it's moving a little too fast for me. I want to be in, and I am in, and I'm getting
get in.
But I'm also a fully big fan of Colorado State, which we didn't talk about enough this episode.
I think I'm glad we did not talk about that.
I might start a Colorado State podcast. So
just move a lot of dudes over there. I mean, again, we have the logos. You can just change the colors.
If anyone in Fort Collins is listening and is looking for a co-host, I'm interested. But overall, just absolute slam dunk. You can tell how psyched we are. The future for this program is unbelievably bright with this guy. And again, it's time to get in. It's now or never.
This is the most universally praised BC move in years. Like, I haven't seen anyone in the BC community be, you know, obviously I think your concerns were fair, but no one's been negative about it overall.
Since beer was introduced into alumni, it's definitely the most popular thing since that.
Yeah, completely. Awesome. So we'll probably get back on the microphone post bowl game would be my guess. I feel like we don't need to do a pregame.
No,
we need to do a pregame.
Yeah, absolutely.
In our fourth and dude meeting, we'll talk about that as well.
It's January 2nd, right? So
holidays and it's New Year's and it's all a lot of stuff. So we'll have to figure that one out. But
we'll do a Cincinnati preview. It's a big bowl game, Matt. Come on, we'll do it.
It's a bowl game.
I know, but it's a legit opponent.
I don't know if I would say it's a big bowl game. It's a bowl game.
It's the seniors' last game. Tanner Carafa's last game. We're going to do a podcast for Tanner Carafa, if for no one else.
If for no one else. All right, awesome. Well, thanks again for listening. Matt, I'll say that these episodes are a lot more fun when we're both in a good mood and we're both on the same page, which, again, has been, I'd say, relatively foreign around here over the last couple of months. So it's good to have you back. It is just a great
it's
day to be
an Eagle.
It's
good to have you back, Matt.
Yeah, thanks. It's just a great day to be an Eagle, and it is a great day to get in on the Halfley bandwagon. As always, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fourth and Dude. I see you, Chris O'Donnell. Thanks for shooting that follow to us, Robin, and our friends. Did you know that, by the way? That was a big get for us.
When did that happen?
When we broke the news. Because I'll give the Barstool BC guys, they respected the biz. They gave us the credit in their Halfley posts. And O'Donnell was all over that. Smash that follow button. So be like Chris O'Donnell.
Is he our most famous follower now?
Yeah, for sure.
Probably, right?
Not even close. Yeah, not even close.
I don't know who number two is.
Yeah. Patrick Tolles.
Yeah, could be. Probably actually dead right.
Yeah. So anyways, follow our friends over at 24/7 as well at Eagle Insiders. They were great throughout the week leading up to this, despite there being very little information to leak out and report. They were trying to keep us up to date as often as possible. So, Matt, I'm going to close with this. I want to know your thoughts on it. Half a great week, everyone.
I was going to say, glasses halfly full, folks.
That's excellent.
We'll workshop both of those. Get back to you guys.